from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Down in Houston, it wasn't supposed to be like this.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. It's the 5 o'clock fire.
It is 5 o'clock. Congratulations. Hopefully you're off work. Luckily for you, old Dirty N. Apparently the massive DILF.
The big DILF.
And a.k.a. T-Mill, a.k.a. Psycho T, a.k.a. Moneybags. Hopefully he had a decent weekend. Not sure. Yep. Didn't think so.
I'm just going. My time spent with Tyler today, I'm going to go out on a limb and say he didn't.
No, he didn't. He just gave us a look.
Not a profitable weekend.
Not a profitable week, let's just be honest.
Yeah.
I
knew something was
wrong. Thought you were asking about the weekend.
The weekend, I'm just thinking now we're sliding into it overall. Probably maybe take this week off. I think maybe.
Not a chance.
No, I got four locked in for tonight.
About to take this?
Not a chance, Ron.
Just thinking, take.
It's the Rangers. Why would he ever do that?
Just take the Rangers
off.
Yeah,
they're the Astros, bitch.
Take the Rangers off, and then maybe get ready for the White Sox. That's it. Yeah.
No, you go hard in the paint with the Rangers, and if it doesn't go real well, then you get it all back with the White
Sox.
That's
right. I ain't never scared. Because scared money don't make money, Ron.
I think you should have a little scare.
Lock of the day. Hunter Brown over 5.5 strikeouts.
That's what the hell
Lock
I'm talking
in.
About.
Lock that sucker in out there. If you're listening and you want to win some money on a Monday, lock it in.
Dollar.
Hunter Brown, 5.5 strikeouts. It's money.
100 for Clint.
Gotcha.
That sounds enticing. That does. 5.5. That does sound enticing.
You even like that, huh?
You're locked in, bro.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
No problem.
Easy money. Man. You want any, Ron?
No, I don't.
Can I get that 20? Because I might want to bet another one.
Really?
20.
All right.
You don't want to make some money back that you probably lost in Canton?
I also want to let you know that the 5 o'clock fire, no, I don't, is brought to you by Kirk Holmes. So let's remember that. So that strikeout does sound enticing. But we'll see what happens. Well, hopefully you and the Astros start to win and make some money. Because this is a kind of a big series in terms of what this can mean for the Rangers and where they are behind the Astros. I'm not saying completely put them away. I think if the Astros found a way to sweep the Rangers, this could be curtains for the defending world champs. Even a series win and gain on them can be a big difference, because the Rangers started to come on a little bit, but now they've kind of dropped back a bit. So I think this is an important series to create some distance between the Astros and the Rangers. And Hunter Brown, who's arguably been been here in the second half because Ronel Blanco has slowed up a bit, been their best pitcher. This is big for him to try to get this started.
Yeah, no, it's huge, Ron. I mean, you're sitting here, you got a nice, comfortable lead on the Rangers in that second place in the division, 4.5 games ahead of them. You're one game out of the division lead with Seattle. And so you're in a good spot. To your point, if you can stretch out that gap between 2 and 3 right there with the Rangers, if you could, even if you just win the series and pick up a game, yeah, that could be big down the stretch.
You sweep them and get to what 7?
Oh, good half, Lord! Eight? Yeah. Now you're talking. I mean, because I'd imagine if you do some sweeping here up in Arlington, then I would imagine that you're gonna be back top of the division, only one game back right now, Seattle. So look, I think it's a monster series. I think it's a monster series right now. For the at least as you look forward for the rest of the season, if the Astros
feels huge,
yes, it does, absolutely. If the Astros can create a little more distance there, and keep the Rangers off their tail while they're only hunting Seattle, that'd be big.
Yeah, it's big. Lineup behind Hunter Brown today: Altuve leading off, Bregman, Alvarez is the DH, Diaz is catching tonight, Peña, Myers, McCormick. And then Dubon and Pedro Leon. Who you got your eye on tonight?
Pedro Leon, baby.
Yeah.
While if he can swing the stick and he's as good as we think he is defensively, I think when Tucker comes back into the mix and he's going to factor into who plays left field when Alvarez is DHing. It's defensively, the arm, the speed, what he brings to the plate with the speed, obviously. If he can swing the stick at the big league level the way he did in the minors, then I think we got us another true outfielder that can play both corner positions and will allow. And not that Ron, we've had this conversation with Dubon. I mean, I would rather Dubon be an everyday player. I'd rather Dubon be in center field potentially. I'd rather Dubon be at first base potentially over the options there. Clearly, the Astros aren't going to do that with him. Clearly, they want him to be that super utility player. They want him to be that pinch hitter off the bench. So that leaves us with ultimately Chaz McCormick in left field when all this comes out in the wash. And as painful as it is to admit, Chaz McCormick has lost that white boy title. And Pedro Leon brings a whole different dynamic to the game, at least theoretically at this point. And so my eyes are on Pedro Leon in right field. I want to see the arm. I want to see the speed on the base pass. I want to see if he can swing the stick at this level.
Yeah, I think that's kind of going to be on the forefront of a lot of people with him coming up. When with Lo Perfido left, a lot of people were excited to see what Pedro Leon look like if he's up here. I'm looking at Jake Myers. So we've talked about a lot of guys that are getting kind of yo-yoed and flipped in and out.
Yep.
I think guys like, you know, Dubon and Singleton and McCormick and Cabbage and Leon and Caratini.
Lo Perfido before he left.
But like those guys, I don't think they know every day if they're going to play or not.
Yep.
Jake Myers has been the everyday center fielder. They have stuck to that, and he has struggled for a little bit now. And to me, if you're going to be in there every day, and then, you know, having the struggles that this offense has, you'd like to see him string together better at-bats and for him to get involved in this offense and somewhere get close to that space where he was hitting 300, flirting with the 290s and everything like that. I'd like to see him. Like he said, it's dropped down to 230. And I know many people, like now, the batting average is not as important or big a stat here, but you look at his batting average and on-base percentage, it is a solid drop for the last couple of months. And we know he's going to be one that's in the lineup every day. I'd like to see him start to, you know, to have better production. So that's one I'm really watching.
Yeah, well, you want to talk about the bottom of the lineup. You mentioned it earlier about how there's only 2.5, 3 hitters in this lineup that scare folks. I mean, Diaz is doing his part. I think I hadn't seen Peña. I hadn't checked Peña's numbers in the last week or so, but I think he's all right. And I mean, you really need, especially with Tucker being out, you really need one more everyday player to be swinging it well, and that would be Jake Myers at this point.
Yeah. All right. So that's the latest here. We'll see what the Astros do. They need to get back on it here after losing these two series, going 2-4 in this 6-game homestand. They got to start turning this thing around.
the clock fire.
All right, here was D'Amico Ryans. We saw in the first game many of the ones, many of the two deep did not play at all against the Bears in that Hall of Fame game. He quickly, Monday, for those of you just joining us, lets you know what's going to happen in this game coming up when they face the Pittsburgh Steelers as they're practicing in Ohio. He lets it be known what his first unit's going
to
do.
When it comes to the snaps and preseason thing, everybody's trying to figure out. Some teams don't play starters, some play. I truly believe in that a guy needs to get reps in a preseason game, right? We don't go to the ground, as you see, the way we practice. We try to keep guys up and be as safe as possible in practice. I think everybody needs that opportunity to go to the ground a couple times in the game. To just get up, dust yourself off, and know you're good, right? And I'm okay. Like, I can go to the ground and get up. So you just have to go through and play live reps of football before live action comes in September. So you'll see our ones go out and get reps this week versus Pittsburgh.
All right, as you said, there, right there, the statement there, D'Amico Ryans from the head coach himself, that the ones will get reps. Mm. And, Clint, how many reps are you thinking? Is this a one series and out type of deal? How many reps would you say you think the ones should get, CJ and the ones, and then that defense as well?
Well, I mean, we talk about this every year, obviously. I think it just depends on what the drives look like, right? You go out there and have two solid drives, even if they end in punts. If you go out there and it's 6 to 8 play drives, and then you get another 6 to 8 to 10 play drive, regardless of what happens at the end of it, I mean, you've got some good run. You've executed as a unit. You've communicated well. Your offensive line has got good work together. You're obviously, your voice and the cadence is being heard, you know, at that point, you've done your job. Now you go out there and you go 3 and out a couple of times, and then I'd imagine there's probably 4 drives in the holster for these guys. So, look, I think it's all depends on what the drives look like. I'd say 15 to 20 snaps for the starters.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
See, I like at least 2 series.
Yeah.
Like, to me, I want you to, because sometimes, and I wouldn't be surprised if we do see this, that guys will play 1 series and come out. I like to, all right, hey, we played 1 series. Let's go and sit here and talk about what we looked at and then go out at least again.
Yeah.
Especially for the offense. Go out at least again to run against this defense one more time. So to me, it's at least 2 series. I don't, yeah, like, even if the first two, one, even if the first one, they do an 8-10 play drive, I want you to go back out.
Sure.
And have that happen.
Yeah, look, I think to your point, I think what you want to at least accomplish is some communication on the sideline. You want to talk about what's going on the field. You want to make a couple of quick adjustments. What does that look like? What does the communication look like? And go back out there and see if the guys can execute it, right? But when it's all said and done, if you go 3 and out twice, you didn't even get a chance to accomplish any of that because you didn't do anything good, right? So yeah. I think maybe 12 plays. I would say 15 to 20 plays, though, is what I would get in the next 2 games. You got Friday and Saturday.
Yeah, because I don't think they're going to play the last one. So I think you got 2 preseason games here to get your work in.
Well, the last one is going to be, there may be a few guys that end up starting that maybe you just want to see more out of. That decision hasn't been completely made yet. You never know what's going to happen at that interior offensive line. We're high on them right now, but you never know exactly what's going to happen there. When you look at any tight end not named Dalton Schultz, I think right now Brevin Jordan's going to get a little bit of love, but I think he's got to make some plays. He's got to get some work in. So potentially a few guys maybe that last week just don't make it because they still have to make some decisions. But I think the bulk of the work gets done in week 2 and week 3, this Friday, next Saturday.
I completely agree with that.
5 o'clock fire.
This Lee Diffie fella, he is getting crushed around here. Yesterday was a crazy, crazy finish in the Olympics in the 100 meters in which Noah Lyles ended up winning that race, and that's been one talked about. He won the world championships and then comes back and wins the gold, but it was tight. Did y'all see that race?
I did.
It was tight.
I did. And I'll be honest with you, it was so tight I had a hard time figuring out. Like, when I first watched it, because I just watched the highlight, when I first watched it, I thought Noah Lyles is one of the guys that was right next to old buddy that was leading the whole way.
Yeah.
And then I had to go. When they replayed it, I realized that he was down below him. And like, hell, he came back.
He came in, but you couldn't,
couldn't really see it.
Well, here, Lee Diffie's getting crushed. I heard Lopez saying, damn, Lyles, this is going to be This is going to be his call for his gold medal for the rest of his life. This was the call on the 100 meter race.
There's an Olympic gold medal waiting for somebody who wants it the most. Now Thompson starts to line up. Curley's going with him. This is close. Jamaica's going to do it. Kishane Thompson is a gold medalist on debut.
We thought it was going to take 9.7 to win. Guess what he just ran? 9.78. But it was a lean at the tape by Thompson. Visually, we think he got it. They're working on the photo.
Fred Curley pushed him all the way. Noah Lyles is looking anxiously.
And then right after that, they said, no, it is Noah Lyles who wins. Hmm.
It's tough, but I mean, I
could see. Here's the thing.
That's what I would have called. That's what it looked like visually.
Live, it. I agree. When I first saw it, I knew the American wasn't wearing green and gold or green and yellow. And I'm like, what the hell y'all mean he won? So, should a professional be better? Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've never been that guy. But at the end of the day, you can see where the mistake was made.
Well, I just don't know what the rule is. Like, in a situation, I'm sure there are probably thoughts and whatever, rules of how you handle it as a broadcaster in track and field if you don't positively know what the finish is. And I don't know what should he have done. Said, hold on,
right,
we don't know.
Right, yeah.
Is that better? Let's just wait. We don't know. I mean, maybe that would have been better. I don't know, but I mean, if you visually look at it, because the analyst he said the same thing. He said it looks like he won. Jamaica won by us what we saw, and then obviously when they got the tape, it showed it was Noah Lyles. So yep. Let's calm down off, man. That was too tight. That was too tight. Oh.
5 o'clock fire.
All right, we talked about it earlier. The new Michigan coach. Coach Moore is going to be in some trouble potentially, Clint, as he had 552 text messages that was erased, and could have some big, big problems. I think he's probably going to miss some games. Well, the head coach who was there actually last year, Jim Harbaugh, he made a comment. He denies any wrongdoing amid those Michigan allegations. He said, here you go, never lie, never cheat, never steal. I was raised with that lesson, he said.
It's a Aggie honor code.
Appearing to read from a prepared statement. I have raised my family on that lesson. I have preached that lesson to the teams that I've coached. No one's perfect. If you stumble, you apologize and you make it right. Today, I do not apologize. I did not participate, was not aware, or nor complicit in any of those allegations. So it's back to work and attacking with the enthusiasm unknown to mankind.
This week on Leave It to Beaver.
I mean, this is the kind of stuff that you just got to laugh
at.
Jim,
come on, man.
Even if you didn't, which is so...
You did.
It's so hard to believe. But even if you didn't, you got to have the... It happened on your watch, man. Like, it happened on your watch.
I do not apologize. I do not participate.
Come on, man. Come on, Jim. Jim's off enjoying a Hall of Fame induction.
In L.A.
He was in Ohio, but
he's living a good life in L.A. right
there
now.
Not my around, problem. Breaking bread with his family and all that. Meanwhile, Coach Moore's in there getting hit in the face with all these allegations of deleting emails and erasing hard drives and all this other jive. I did not. Let me guess. It was everybody but you. Is everybody but the head coach?
And he said, I'm telling you, when you stumble, you apologize and make it right. You know what today? I do not apologize.
That's interesting.
I did not participate. Just he did. Boy, I'm telling you, Jim. You got to be kidding me. All right, coming up, we saw J.J. Watt. And we saw him up close and personal at the Hall of Fame in Canton. And I'm sorry. I know many of y'all want this dream to happen. if it's going to happen, he needs some months and months to prepare for it because he don't look like he's ready to play any ball. We'll discuss that.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hubley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. And listen, I do want to get into this, what I saw of JJ. And I wasn't wrong. But we were talking about this earlier in terms of, like, the lineup of who you want to see more of. And we've talked about it. We want to see guys get opportunities every day. Someone texted in. Appreciate you listening. Dubon is not an everyday player. End of story. He needs to be in his role that he was brought here for. He is not an everyday player. He certainly ain't an everyday first baseman. And I would just say to you, Texter, how do you know? What evidence do you have of that? Because the only time that he was given an opportunity to be an everyday player, and I'm talking about like what Bregman is, what Jakey is, like the only time he has gotten a chance to be an everyday batter, he's hitting 300. Last year, when he got extensive every single day at bats playing second base for Jose Altuve over almost 2 months worth, he hit 300. You could say he's not an everyday player, but he's been yo-yoed as much as anybody in and out of the lineups. He may play one day. Hell, they've had, I know, two road series against the Seattle Mariners that totaled up, I believe, 7 games. He's missed 5 of them. I just don't think there's any proof. And the only proof that there is, he did play. He did show that he could play every day. So, listen, I know they want him as a super utility guy, and he won the Gold Glove last year for the utility guy. But I don't agree with that. I don't think that he's given, especially this year, a fair shake at being an everyday player. It just hasn't.
Yeah, I can't subscribe to that line of thinking. I can understand where a guy was brought in because he has the ability to play multiple positions and you need him available. He doesn't need to be a starter. You need him available to play second and first and left field. But that's not the conversation we're having, right? I mean, we're not talking about a guy that's been a super utility player and he's been in that role and he's just been really good in that role. And all of a sudden, hey, this guy needs to be thrusted into everyday play. To your point, we've seen him play every day on multiple occasions, not just when Altuve was out. We've seen when it matters the most, he's in the lineup every day, right? But and then you even furthermore, you look at it, it's like, these are some pretty extenuating circumstances, right? I mean, you had a first baseman that you expected to be a lock, stock, and barrel starter for two more years that you DFA'd. And so the first baseman situation is up in the air. Is John Singleton an everyday player? Right. Maybe he is. I don't know. I'm asking the question, right? You've got a right field situation where your right fielder, who is a lock, stock, and barrel everyday starter, one of the best in the league,
in Kyle Tucker.
But that's not the situation you're talking about. And you've got eight different guys playing right field, right? You've got an odd situation in left field where you got your DH that plays out there because your catcher situation, you want to swing that, which I make sense. I'm good with it. But you don't have ideal situations at left, right, or first base right now. And so I don't think Ron's suggesting that Dubon is an everyday player for a team that's got everyday players lock, stock, and barrel players. He's simply saying, given the circumstances with the Astros right now, that he's proven to be the best player that you've got available at a handful of positions. And here's the deal. Here's the deal with Dubon is if you want to fall into the trap of this baseball talk of this super utility player is so important that you got to put him on the bench until he's needed, okay, that's fine. Then do that. And let Pedro Leon be your everyday right fielder. Let Chaz McCormick be your everyday left fielder when Jordan's not out there. Let John Singleton be your everyday first baseman and roll with it. Like, let the guys play and get into a rhythm. But that's not what they do. Right?
Just like to me, Chaz McCormick has shown that he can be an everyday player. This year, I think a big part of why he hasn't.
I agree.
Is injury, but he has not been given the keys. But for some reason, like with him, obviously with the Dubon situation, is they have come in with a game plan with him, word go. I think it's a bit unfair that he just got put into the utility guy, even though he ended the season as the center fielder in the biggest games of the year. Every single day he was written in almost as a center fielder in the playoffs, but he comes in and he's forced to be the utility guy. But, I mean, that wasn't a plan with Chaz. And to me, Chaz has shown, I can be an everyday guy. He did it last year. But Jake is getting a chance to do it. Other guys aren't getting a chance to do it. So to me, like if you look at Jake, Chaz, and Dubon, when all of them have had opportunities to be everyday players, Jake's been the worst of them.
Agreed.
So I mean, like, I understand that they want to be a super utility guy, whether I agree with it or not, but I think it's unfair to say that dude's not an everyday player.
It's extreme, right, Ron?
What did he say? What did he say? End of story.
It's extreme, right? How do we determine who is an everyday player and who isn't? I mean, if we're not going to base it on the times when they have been an everyday player and how good they've been, like, who's going to determine that? Like, who determines an everyday player versus a super utility guy? A guy can be an everyday right fielder while Kyle Tucker's out, but they can adjust that whenever Altuve needs a break and he can play second, or Pena needs a break, he can play shortstop, or whoever needs a break, he can move around and be an. Is that a super utility or is that an everyday player? Like, to me, it's just the baseball speak, the baseball talk of this guy's a super utility and nothing else. Well, I mean, with all the injuries and the fluid lineup that the Astros have, your super utility guy that plays six different positions should be an everyday player somewhere. If he's hitting 300 or 260 to 300.
Yeah.
I mean, right? I mean, I think the overarching point is just, I mean, I'm a fan. I think Ron is a fan. I just would, like Pedro Leon, I would like to see him in right field until Kyle Tucker comes back. I'd like to see him versus righties. I'd like to see him versus lefties. I'd like to see him early in games. I'd like to see him late in games with the game on the line. I would like to see Pedro Leon and have a better idea who the hell he is so that we know, can he play center field? Can he play left field when Jordan's DHing? Is he and then let Dubon slide into that true super utility role? I mean, that's the kicker here. There's nothing normal about the situation as it pertains to Dubon in a super utility role versus being an everyday player.
Like I said, I get the reason of, boy, man, he could play all around the spot. I get the understanding of why that is, and I get that's what his role was going into last year. But I mean, he has shown he can be capable of more than that. All right, I do want to get to the JJ stuff, but also before we get to the JJ stuff, this is just coming out. We'll talk about this and let you know the latest of what we just heard. Joe Espada giving updates on two injured players, Luis Garcia and Kyle Tucker. Recent updates just in the last couple of minutes. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome back into The Drive. And some news did want to pass across from Joe Espada, the captain, Tyler. The captain, Joe Espada.
Gonna stop saying that.
What are you talking about? That's within.
He ain't no captain.
He is.
No, he's not.
The captain of this ship. Like, I'm not gonna.
Of this what?
Of this ship. I'm not gonna blow up his head and call him Skip. I don't think he deserves that yet, but he is the captain. He says of Kyle Tucker, did a bunch of stuff on the outfield today in Houston. No good for Kyle.
Thanks for the update, Joe.
Bunch of stuff, baby.
He's coming. Well informed now.
Oh, yeah. So
this comes on the heels of him saying he'd be surprised if it was August, right? Was that him that said that?
Well, he said he'd be aggressive for him to say it was August. So
yep.
There he is. Did a bunch of stuff on the field. As for Luis Garcia, he remains a non-thrower. No throwing. Yep, for Luis Garcia. You remember we got that note late Friday that he had soreness in his elbow. And obviously that's of major note. He's coming off Tommy John surgery. And maybe he's pushed that thing a little too much. He has taken some rehab starts. They stopped, shut him down a little bit, threw again. And now he has soreness in the elbow. Coming off the heels also of Lance McCullers, the captain saying he's no longer going to pitch this year for the team. That's out. Safe to say, I believe, is what he said. So that is the latest with Kyle Tucker and Luis Garcia. If bunch of stuff in the outfield today, I hope that means, as you said, we felt really good about it, and maybe they're getting close.
Look, I'm not too concerned about Luis Garcia. If it happens, it happens. With that new Kikuchi in town and Verlander on his way back, and Spencer Arrighetti sitting down 11. I'm feel really good about where we're at. That Kyle Tucker thing scares me. I mean, Kyle Tucker and
scares you to what? Like in terms of you're starting to have concerns. Like, when is Joker going to be back?
Yeah, I mean, if he's going to be back. I mean, I am. I mean, like you said, we're 2+ months into this thing, man. This is no way, shape, or form is this a bone bruise. There clearly is more to the story with Kyle Tucker and. I'm just hoping and praying that we don't get some kind of he's shutting it down for the year kind of report after he starts to run a little bit.
It almost feels like that's more likely than to hear, hey, he's going to Corpus. I mean, it feel bad, you know. I hope so. I want to see him play again. I mean, this guy was putting together a hell of a season before all of this happened. Like, again, that man was out a month and still made the All-Star team. Like, he was out for a month and still made the All-Star team. Like, this could have been an MVP season for him. It was going to that space. So,
well, I'm the surprising thing to me.
I am concerned too, Clint.
I mean, it's just like the surprising thing to me is that you've got. I mean. Like, to not be able to participate in any way, shape, or form at this point in time is the part that concerns the hell out of me. Like, I mean, and I understand baseball is a little bit of a different animal in the sense that everybody has to run bases and do the same thing. And in the outfield, you got a long way to go to get the balls kind of deal. But the fact that he's not even ready to do those things and kind of hobble around a little bit, that concerns me.
Yeah. As I said, if you missed it earlier through the in the weekend, what was mentioned about Kyle Tucker was, in his words, Joe Espada said, "I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to happen." This was when he was asked if he would be back in August. He said, "I'm not going to sit here and say that it's going to happen. It'd be fantastic. It's kind of a day-to-day, see how he feels thing. It'd be too aggressive to say we'll have him by the end of the month. It is a possibility." Like, you know, that's an odd thing. As you said, we're now past the 2 month period. He was last played June 3rd, and they moved him to the 60 days. So I'm sure we've eclipsed 60 days at this point. So yeah, that's something to watch. And I introduced it Friday, and Clint said my tone was moving towards negativity of some sorts. But I think we've got, there's at least two questions. One, fairly or not, hey man, is this guy going to return? Two, when he does return, how long does it take, if he ever is able, to be the MVP candidate he was? Right? Like, if he bangs it, comes in September, does he come right in September and he's Kyle Tucker that we remember? Or is that going to take
him? I don't know if he's the Kyle Tucker that we remember, but he can damn sure help this lineup.
Oh, yeah, he would put some fear. Put some sort of fear. All right, coming up behind us, remember, Texans All Access, is they are on the road. They're in Ohio and at the old school that Nick Caserio, the general manager, been there in that practice facility. You'll be able to hear from them as they had another good day at practice there. As D'Amico says, very competitive day. So the guys there, Mark and John, will be able to tell you more about that. And then after that, Area 45, Bajani and Creighton, they'll have your post game for this Rangers, important Rangers-Astros game, live and local until 11 o'clock. So stay tuned with that. Hey, man, we're at the Hall of Fame. And as we said, we're in that spot where we had no business being. And it was up close and personal with J.J. Watt. He looks like a small forward.
Small forward, meaning what?
He looks like an NBA college small forward. Looks like a guy that's about 6'4".
Come on,
6'5", maybe 6'6", 230.
230?
Maybe a little heavier, 240, 240, 250. A heavy small forward is what he looks like.
Golly, you think JJ's that small?
I think, if you told me JJ was 250, I was like, all right, I can buy that. Now, probably off. He's tall and he's got obviously put together. He may be a little bit more of that. But, I mean, his look, he looks like he is putting his body and getting his body in a space that is opposite of playing 17, hell, 7 games in the NFL right now. Right? Like, clearly, Clint, he is working out and working out really hard. But he does not look like he is working out as somebody who is about to play football. He looks like he's working out. What did you say the last time you saw him? It looks like he's getting ready to compete, some sort of a, like Figgy's sister, some sort of a bodybuilding situation. By the way, Tyler, Figgy, have you seen her? Good.
Great. Yeah, I've seen her. She could whoop all of our asses.
She is put together.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that's the kind of look he almost.
Yeah,
looking like. He looked really small.
I mean, that's why when the picture was posted a while back that went viral with JJ and how shredded he was, the thought is that he could play, he could be a true defensive end in a 4-3, which is what D'Amico is running. And it's not about what did he play at? 290, 285?
285, 290, yeah.
It's not about being that inside force. Or like a 3-4 defensive end is typically bigger than your 4-3 defensive end, and at least JJ was, where he could bump inside and do some different things. So a true 4-3 defensive end doesn't have to end up inside; can always be an outside guy, and that seems like where if JJ were going to play, he would have to land out there. After hearing you, hell, he may have a hard time landing out there.
No, he'd have to get himself. I think he'd have to change. It's just the way his body is. It just, and I know I can't see him with his shirt off. Like, it is, there is, that does not look, he does not look like a football player.
Really?
like up close and personal, he does not look like a defensive lineman.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like we saw a bunch of ex players throughout, and you're like, all right, that guy looks like Julius Peppers looks like he could maybe give you five games.
He can go right
like
now.
like his body is similar to where he was. You could tell he still works out. Like he Hester and them look like they can. It's to me, it's almost like what's Travis Jason Kelce's doing. Like Jason Kelce, it would take him a while to be able to get himself.
Yeah, because he's lost so much weight.
Right. It's like when people have the dream of oh Danico Autry got hurt and D'Amico can make the call anytime. Like, there may be a call that he can make, but JJ's gonna have to, especially if he's gonna play at the positions that we're thinking. JJ's gonna have to get it together, get his body in a space to play NFL football. Someone texted in, I think you're also just used to what JJ used to look like. But I'm just telling you, right now, if you go stand JJ up next to like what we saw Danielle Hunter put together, Danielle Hunter is bigger than JJ.
Huh.
I would make that bet. And Danielle Hunter, they got him at 260 something pounds. Maybe a Ronel Blanco type of a but obviously I'm not saying he can't get himself together, but as you said, he's much closer to, all right, hey man, give me a couple of months, I can get to the end time.
I didn't see him, I didn't get up close with him. I obviously saw the highlights and all the pictures and everything. I didn't see him, but
Figgy saying same thing. Like,
hell, after I saw that picture, I was just, I mean, there's no inside presence. There's to me, that's a guy that can play. That's a guy that can play and rush the passer on a tackle or a tight end.
Yes. That's where he looks like he's going to get to. Because you said 280, 290.
If it were to happen.
I can imagine. That fellow there. Anybody else who was out there close? Anybody's out there? You saw that. You saw. Ooh. And he looks like he's about getting ready to start a movie. Like non-action.
Which he may.
He might. I think he'd be great. He might. Hair looked a lot better though than the Super Bowl.
Good.
I loved it. Loved the hair.
What was it?
It looked like it grown it out some and just kind of had it longer.
He didn't have the Sugar Ray look with the spikes and the frosted tips.
God no. No, he didn't have that old T Mill.
Yeah, I don't know who talked him into that. I don't know who talked T Mill into it back in the day, much less JJ Watt a couple months ago.
My grandmother.
Did she really?
Yep.
What did she? Oh, how did that conversation go?
So have you seen what these kids been doing?
Their grandmother.
They frosted tips. It looks cute.
My grandmother.
You should try it. Yeah, you should try the frosted tips.
Could you see Tyler rolling?
I felt like Tyler wanted to get to the frosted tips. And
there's no question.
Well, I mean, I definitely signed up willingly. Yeah.
Could you imagine him rolling into the high school parking lot, yellow Hummer, window down, hanging that head out with some shades on and them frosted tips?
Yes.
Well, I didn't have the frosted tips in high school, first of all.
What was it?
It was like into elementary and into junior high a little bit.
Oh,
I think
really?
I gave the frosted tips look a break. See, I ended that in like eighth grade.
Better looking hair, right? That's a grew it out.
Oh, that's a much nicer hair.
Much nicer.
Yeah, that's good.
If I would have shown up to Sterling High School in Baytown with frosted tips, I would have had to kick my own ass.
Well, they probably done it for you, but
no,
yeah,
you beat him to the punch.
I get your point.
I
think it's fair.
But I did rock them for about a 4-year stretch, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth grade-ish.
That's when you did your best work, slaying.
From the text line.
I laid the foundation for my life's work during those days, you know?
That's right.
From the text line, this is speculation as well. It doesn't take losing much weight for someone that used to be huge to be looking skinny. Okay.
Whatever you say, partner.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I saw him. I saw other current players and former players. It was a stark difference. Stark difference.
Well, that takes a little bit of the wind out of my sails, Ron. I know you're, I mean, you're glad to hear that.
I'm not glad to hear that. I'm just being honest. I like the wind.
We can't have a good weekend with Andre going to the Hall of Fame and you just trying to ruin it with the J.J. Watt.
Saying I saw the J.J. thing. We got to pump the brakes big time. Big Mike sitting next to me saying the same thing.
I don't know. I didn't hear him.
Come on, J.J.
I bet he said it on endless. I bet he did. No, he did. Feel right about it. Again, Texans All Access coming up behind us. I do want to say this. Real talk, Texans fans, hey, I gotta give you a round of applause. You all showed out. I know Andre Johnson's never gonna forget about the love that y'all showed him this weekend, and y'all were out there, showed this team. You were loud, vocal all weekend long from when we got there Thursday at the Hall of Fame game and all around. You were loud and vocal at jerseys. I mean, absolutely took over that entire place. And then at the ceremony on Saturday when he was inducted, there wasn't a fan base louder. And you could tell the love affair that Houston had with Andre Johnson. So shout out to Houston, man. Y'all showed out. And I know many other fan bases, many other people watching and agreed and saw the same thing. So good for you all for coming out, showing out. Clint, great job.
Thanks, bud.
Tyler, great job. Good to be back in the building. I'm Ron Hughley, as always.
Need Houston. You in a better mood tomorrow, Tyler.
We love you, baby. When the day that lies ahead of me. People texting in, I think it was that southern accent that people couldn't get, that she was having trouble hearing. I don't know. I'm telling you, as a person that was there, it was not the accent.
Puck to and spit on that thing.
I never got that feel at all.
By the way, she was there in Cleveland.
Yeah, Hawk Tua was there.
She was at the casino.
I saw that.
I mean, Hawk Tua was there. How did we not catch up and get a little content with Hawk Tua, man?
Puck to and spit on that thing.
I mean, there's something there.
He's not cool enough to go with it.
I mean, Tua's got to spit on his hand or something before he throws the next ball.
Oh, you're on to some.
He'd have her spit on the ball, hot glue on the ball.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.